Hey, America!
Start listening now!
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Everything's great here in Minnesota. And the other day, I went and got a nice old Sprite. Not a sponsor. But you know how I like my Sprite in particular?
Do tell.
With no ice.
Damn right.
Roll it. And welcome to another ice-free episode of 12 Points from America, our Eurovision Song Contest podcast. I'm not doing the gag. I'm so annoyed with this country right now. I don't know. I don't have a good joke, so it's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
I just want to say, we are in Minnesota. One of us lives in Minneapolis proper. And I just want everyone to know who might be listening, who is seeing, you know, news stories and things like that. Minneapolis is one of the best cities in the country. It is a wonderful place. Minnesota is an amazing state. And we seem to be the main character of the world these days for reasons that have really very little to do with us. I just want to say if you hear something that's saying, wow, it seems like Minnesota sucks. No, it doesn't. It rules. And if you're listening from Minnesota, we are here and we feel for you. And I'm sorry that this is the timeline we somehow landed in, but it's going to be all right.
Yep. I love my city. I love everything that it stands for. I love the people in it, no matter how much melanin they have, no matter what their birthplace was, no matter what passport they hold. I don't give a crap. I love my city. I love my state. And I love you guys, both y'all on the other side of the screen right now and y'all around the world for listening. I know a handful of you have emailed and reached out to us either through email or socials, checking in, sending love. And we really do appreciate it. And keep the love going. And
for real.
Just keep your heads up. One foot in front of the other. Find ways to support your community, whether financially or, you know, helping your neighbor out. Look out for each other. Just keep the love going. That's all I can do.
Remember when this used to be a Eurovision show?
Oh, yeah.
What movies have you guys seen lately?
I haven't. I've been taking comfort in like my comfort shows or my comfort movies, which to me means
comfort podcast.
I rewatched The Birdcage, one of my favorite movies of all time. I will watch The Birdcage at any moment, any reason. If I just need a bit of warmth and love and slight outlandishness, I will watch Robin and Nathan and all of that, and a young Calista Flockhart before, you know, pre Ally McBeal, and Gene Hackman in drag, because that's what the world needed. Yes,
it's what we need now. You know
what the world needs now is Hackman in drag.
Yeah, it's the only thing.
Anyway,
get enough. Anyway, yeah, I'm Eric. I don't think
we didn't do the thing.
I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Liz.
And you're you. You're you.
Look at you, just being cool out there listening.
Yeah, good for you.
Pat yourself on the back.
Doing right by your ears by listening to this show. Okay. So we haven't done a show in like 4 months or something.
Yeah, we forgot how to podcast.
Yeah.
What is time anymore?
So at our last show, if you haven't heard that one, I would say check that one out. We talked a bit about the sort of the state of everything and how Israel is still in, and a lot of people are unhappy about that. And that's all.
Again, for those of you who reached out to us after that episode, including some from Israel. We really do appreciate the feedback. And you can always reach out to us on the standard and substandard social media outlets at 12pointsusa, or just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. You can find merchandise of ours over on our Redbubble page. You can support us with a donation on our Ko-fi account. That's ko-fi, or a sustained monthly donation on Patreon. We appreciate and love and support you. We do support you. Whatever you're doing, we support it. Unless you're like kicking puppies and being an asshole.
Yeah, if you we don't support you.
Right. But generally speaking, if you're just, you know, living your life and walking down the street, making your way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, you're homebound, then we support you. But whether you support us financially or not, we love you. Patreon supporters, however, do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. So
we took a bit of a holiday break, and a few things happened. Not a ton of things happened, but we have our first two Eurovision songs of the year.
Yes, we do, and they're both bangers. Yes. Yeah,
off to a solid start.
Yeah, 2 for 2, y'all. 2 for 2. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Albania had their annual Festival of Gungas, and Alice and his song Nan ended up taking the win pretty convincingly, if I remember correctly.
I love
Nan. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is powerful.
Yeah.
Very happy about that. Albania just doing what Albania does. Hopefully they, you know, hopefully it stays in Albanian. It just works beautifully as it is. I don't remember offhand the length of the song, if it needs to be trimmed down at all to 3 minutes. But hopefully, if you need to edit it, they take a scalpel instead of a machete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Albania has done it right so many times, but they've also done some incredible songs dirty. So hopefully it all comes together nicely. Mm.
Well, I mean, they had such a wonderful result last year and at the ESC 250 as well. And we'll get to that. But I love the idea that Albania is in the process of being, as they say, on one. they might be on. I would love to see them kind of be on a roll and get that just that constant wave of love for doing what they do the way that like Finland has and Portugal has and that sort of thing. I could see. I think we might be heading in that direction, which would be cool.
I hope so for both senior and junior. I mean, the fact that we had Fruta Perime appearing at Festival of Gungas this year, that just made my heart very happy.
Fruta Perime. All right. Montenegro did theirs as well.
Yes. And we have a winner in Tamara Živković with Nova Zora, which I believe means New Dawn. Again, powerful dance. Yes. The kind of thing that a lot of people tune into Eurovision for. So, yes. I believe a lot of, girl power and you know, the dawning of a new age of being a boss-ass lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here.
Something we all strive to be, especially me and Derek.
Right.
Yeah.
No judgment, but yeah, it's relatively early, but we are, you know, the national selection process does roll on. We've got Malta and Moldova will be picking their songs on January 17th. Honestly, by the time that you might be listening to the show, Luxembourg will be picking a week later on January 24th. And more countries are releasing their songs and their singers. Bulgaria's released their list of artists. By the time this episode airs, you'll probably know who's in the running for Finland, which is always a great time. We'll get Greece and Poland soon. The Ukrainian songs are incoming. Got stuff from Malta, Croatia, Estonia, Latvia, Luxembourg. Like, seriously, the playlists are there if you want to listen to them. If you decide to engage in Eurovision in May or not, the national finals are still rolling on. Even for countries that aren't necessarily participating, we do know that Spain is still holding their Benidorm Fest, even despite not taking part in Vienna. Unfortunately, that is not the case for Iceland. We just got word today that their Songbakkeppnin process will not go on this year. They're not doing it as a sort of national showcase. They're just not going to have any sort of national competition this year, which I understand. But at the same time, it's sort of a shame if there are up and coming artists who are looking forward to doing that. But hopefully we'll get it back next year. Roll on 27.
Yeah. Can I shout out a couple of songs on these ones that are coming up this week?
Please do.
All right. So Moldova, there are a number of bops to go around if you're into that sort of thing. There is a song called Dance and Cry, which is kind of, feels like a mood. The favorite appears to be, I'm guessing, a song called Pink Margarita by Catalina Solomach. And that one caught my eye because that is an artist who had a song I really enjoyed a couple years ago that was just another total bop. It's just a big old bop. Malta has, and this is a pattern I'm starting to see in a couple of countries, looking at you, Estonia as well, a certain audio vibe that I have kind of a hard time putting into words, but I'm going to say dance pirates.
Ooh.
It just has sort of this sea shanty pirate swing sort of to it, except it's also like EDM. There are several of these. The song with Stig Rasta in it is like this. Estonia also has a song called Jolly Roger, which is a little on the nose, if you ask me. But in Malta, it's a name we all know and possibly love. Matt Black has a song called Eyaleyaheyathon, and it's about, you know, the SNL song about a weird little flute in rap songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very silly. There's some other good songs here. There's a one called Let a Girl Breathe, I think is what it's called. Another Maltese thing. And wouldn't you know it, her last name is Borg.
Hey, the return of the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable.
Yeah. Resistance is futile, as they say.
Yep.
But yeah, there's some good ones in both of these. Honestly, I think we are off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, I would say one of the other front runners over in Moldova, kind of going back to there, probably one of the biggest names, like the Moldovan and Romanian speaking fandom, were really, really excited to see a guy by the name of Satoshi in the running, and his song Viva Moldova, which is sort of a multilingual yay Moldova, is in the running, and a lot of people are thinking that he might be the front runner. He's a very, very well-known artist in Moldova, and I believe the only one that I see that actually has a Wikipedia page of his own, which is certainly helpful. We also have the return of Bacho, who was probably the front runner from last year's selection. They frankly should have just picked him internally, but so much for that. With a song called Tata, which I'm sure nobody would make fun of that. Oh yeah, Tata.
It's fine.
Gotta love the Tata.
Oh, yeah, you do. On the topic of
Tatas?
Say
more.
Oh, I just wanted to shout out both Estee Lal and Supernova for having really good lineups again this year as well. A lot of fun stuff across both of those contests. They're the pirate songs I mentioned in Estonia. Latvia has some really interesting stuff. I want to shout out a couple of things. There's a band called Kautkaili. Their song is great. Legs Dina is back. Pop singer. That one's really great. I really like, if you like Victoria from Bulgaria, Takasha Sakama's song, and this just rolls right off the tongue, number 010126 Coda. Oh my God, it sounds exactly like exact. It's kind of wild. And then I also want to give a shout out, not necessarily a recommendation, but a shout out to a fellow named Robert Ox and his song Raven at the Taj Mahal.
Let's start calling him Bob Ox.
Bob Ox.
You got to hear this one. It's
it's a vibe.
Oh God, yeah, it's a real vibe. But yeah, there's a lot of good songs there. And Estonia's got Getter Jani is back.
Getter Jani, yeah, Getter Jani,
So I have not realized how young she was when participated, because I saw that, like, oh yeah, she's like 31 or something. Also, she's a returning artist from 12 years ago.
Yep.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was the front runner during my first contest. A lot of us were very surprised to see Rockefeller Street not do as well as a lot of the fandom had hoped, but it's still a bop.
Yeah, we've got Rhythm of Nature by Uliana. That one's pretty good. Ollie's back as well. Probably my least favorite of his songs, but it's still pretty, I mean, it still goes hard and all that, as you'd expect. A lot of good stuff to go around.
And we're still waiting for the full songs from Ukraine to be released. And I'm very, very excited. A couple of really big names coming up from there, including Jerry Heil, Mono Kate, who we know better as Katerina Pavlenko, lead singer of Goa. The Elians starring Elena Osenko of Junior Eurovision fame. Molody, who I believe came in second last year. There are a bunch of really, really big names. We're really excited to hear.
Yeah.
To hear more of that.
Got the Dora songs also. If you are a fan of Tatu Metas from last year, I think you need to look no further than Andromeda by Lelik there. It's very much the same vibe. And I like that these things are starting to crop up more because they're very cool. And there's nothing quite like them here in the States and that sort of thing. So check that one out. It's good ones there too.
Yeah. During this cold winter, it's always nice to see just more of this stuff just slowly, not even slowly, but just bubbling up and becoming more and more available. Mm-hmm. And again, however you decide to engage with the big contest in May, you know, this is the time to discover all sorts of really cool stuff from all over the continent. So very excited. So we've talked about stuff that's coming up in the future. Let's take a quick look at stuff that is our annual tradition honoring past songs. The ESC 250 in the, how do I put this? The anti-climax that it is becoming. Lurien came in gold and silver again with Euphoria and Tattoo, respectively. which wasn't a massive surprise to anybody, but what was a pleasant surprise was what took the bronze at the ESC 250 this year, and that was Jerm.
Yeah. Jerm. Top song from 2025 was Jerm. I'm so glad. It's interesting to see how over the course of just like a 6 month period, what kind of sticks around and what doesn't.
And I'm curious, you know, just knowing, and I don't know when the voting cutoff is for the ESC 250, but just given its proximity to FICMAS, just thinking like, hey, maybe a bunch of people were watching the show and got to see that reprise. And it was great.
I think that the ESC 250 voting closed prior to to FIC. But certainly I think when it comes to cold weather, you know, beginning of winter, there's certainly a lot of pro Albania in the air. Not that that's the reason, but you know, when I think December, I think FICMAS.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it should also be noted that a lot of the time, some songs that absolutely bubbled to the top 1 year, their first year after their contest, might fall a little bit the following year. So, you know, if you love Jerm as much as we do, keep voting for it for next year and the year after. So we don't have a Kruna situation that we had a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was weird. That was really weird. Full top 10. Lorraine again. Jerm. Cha-Cha-Cha fourth. Chanel fifth. Slow-Mo. Barabada Bastu is the second highest song from Basel in sixth. Hold Me Closer, seventh. I am fascinated by how that the staying power that one seems to have had. That finished seventh, actually moved up in the rankings from last year. Rim Tim Tagidim was eighth. Ich Komme by Erica Vickman, ninth. And then Zari, hell yeah, sticking around in the top 10 as well.
Very, very cool. And do we know offhand where Wasted Love ended up?
Wasted Love did
pretty low.
Lower than I expected. 35th.
Yeah.
One spot behind Fairy Tale, two spots behind Ooh Ah, just a little bit. Ooh. It was part of a run of where six songs out of seven were all from 2025, going from 35th down to 41st. And it went Wasted Love, then Asteromata from Greece, Baller from Germany, cool, Gaia from Poland, cool. Then sandwiched in there was My Number One, the winner from 2005. Then we had New Day Will Rise from Israel, and then Roa, I'm on a Boat from Iceland. So
see, there's your pirate.
Mm-hmm. Pirate. Yeah, honestly, I think this is the reason we have so many pirate songs is that it's the vibe effect.
I would say that vibe ran so that everybody else could run, but they weren't really, you know, or walked so everybody else could run, but they weren't really walking. They were just on a little boat. They floated so everybody else could jet ski. I don't know.
Yeah.
They rode so we could.
Yeah. They rode so we could hovercraft? I don't know.
Sail?
Parasail.
Sail. All right. Yeah, you at home probably have a better metaphor for this. You know what we're going for here. Mm-hmm.
I will note, Kruna did make another big jump, but not to the extent it did that 1 year. It finished 122nd. Tied with Mona Moore by Slimane in terms of points.
All right.
I don't know if we have any word on how our boy... one moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You talking about Ugu, aren't you?
Gaia. Down at 914th place was The Lucky One by Uku Samiste. Somebody did give it 12 points, and I appreciate that.
Was there any love for Euro Neuro?
I don't know. Let's see. Yes, 508th place. That that's
almost
kinda,
twice as better as
been, yeah, it's tied with one. Prink Mila in points. Good for him. Good for him. Finished a point ahead of All of My Love.
Wow.
Wow.
Destiny.
Rude.
Yeah, well, you know.
One of these years we're going to actually do a concerted effort to get one of our pet songs onto the mix.
Yeah,
this was not that year.
No, it wasn't. Just a little too much other crap. So you know, it's always a fun list. It's interesting to see. It definitely didn't feel like there was anything coming this year that was gonna dethrone the Lorraine songs, and that's what happened. She gets the split screen to herself again. Congratulations. The staying power of those two really is fascinating. I have nothing against either song. It's just wild to me that they end up being these unstoppable juggernauts in this particular fan voting.
I mean, at what point do the organizers of the ESC 250 just say, we will retire these songs, you know, put them into a Hall of Fame at the, you know, maybe songs that are played after number one. It's like, all right, now we honor our multi-year winners and just kind of retire them. Let other songs kind of take charge at the top.
I mean, I think if you take them out, I think the engagement goes way down because clearly people love these songs a lot. So like,
rise because it's no longer a foregone conclusion?
I know that that's possibly subconsciously one of the reasons why I didn't vote this year. It's like, well, it's going to be Lorraine anyway. So, you know, why should I put my votes in for Aya or...
Should always vote, though. Oh, Aya did pretty well, too, I think.
Darn right.
Like the 30s, I think.
Yeah. Glad that one has stood the test of time as well.
Darn right.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, here's something that's too early to talk about. We have betting odds for Eurovision, finally. Finally. Oh, now we know what to think. These are about what you would expect. It's interesting seeing like which countries with no information people are kind of hedging on and thinking like, oh yeah, they could do it. Like Bulgaria is in the top 10 now that they're back, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm.
Bulgaria, even though their national final system is going to be a little bit weird, but the pool of artists that they're drawing from are well established in the Bulgarian music scene. They are proven hit makers, people who, you know, for years, a lot of the Bulgarian fans have been foaming for some of these people to foaming at the mouth for them to take part. You know, a lot of really big names on the Bulgarian scene. So, mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very excited to see what happens with this. And
So our top five are Israel, Sweden, Finland. No, Israel, Sweden, Ukraine, Finland, Italy. I mean, that's if you had to blind guess a country to win right now, I mean, I think those are the ones that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Without a ton of information, I know that it's been said recently that the system, the way it currently is, the winner is more than likely always going to be either Israel or the jury winner. And that's kind of where it's at least at the top, you know. But this is as we often say about so much more than who wins as well. So we'll see. But we got betting odds, guys. Betting odds. You know who's last?
Ooh, let me guess. Yeah, I was going to say San Marino. Montenegro never does as well as they should. Romania, maybe?
Romania is down there. I will tell you, Montenegro is last.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay, but like also Albania is 31st. Yeah. And that's just rude.
That's really, that's, yeah, that's.
Well, I mean, I think.
It's a known quantity.
Like
this happens every year.
Yeah, song gets picked. Think, well, that's not going to win. Down it goes. So unfortunately, I think that probably is the case for both of these. But who knows? We could have a Fuego sort of glow up I don't know
if we have a full-on glow up from what is Albania, like that's going to be incandescent. That's going to be incandescent if it gets any better than that. You see, I'm going to have the same problem for the 26th season that I did for the 25th season, that part of me will have the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, this isn't as strong as a year as I would have liked, but logically I know it's because the song that was picked first out of the gate was my favorite. And I'm going to be comparing everything else to that. It's like, no, it was actually a decent year.
It was fine.
Nothing topped the songs that I love that were right out the gate. So,
well, we can hope that there are songs that do, because that means there are even more goodness song picked songs. Absolutely. Or that sentence didn't work out.
You can word good. You can word good.
I can, but I don't. Second to last is San Marino. Third from the bottom is Portugal. That makes me sad. Although I think perhaps some of that is the thought that they might
just not show
they
up.
They may not show up.
Yeah. We've had more and more acts in the national final say that they're not going to go. I think there's only
one act that said they would.
Yeah.
There are a few acts that haven't commented, but the large majority at this point have said, no, I wouldn't go. So that'll be a thing to watch. They are in, by the way. Oh, what's up?
I have to ask, if only one person agrees to go, are they just going to send him, even if he comes last?
It's an interesting question. We're about to find out in a couple months here.
And if that is the case, do we consider this an internal selection or do we consider it a national final?
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
That's going to mess with the stats a little bit, won't it?
It could, yeah. I mean, if they just drop out, then it doesn't matter. But they're also in what is already the slightly shorter. And this brings us to the next thing that happened just today. We got the semifinal draw running order. Right now we have 35 countries. There are 15. So there's a big four. Spain is out. So there's a big four this year, plus Austria, which leaves 30 countries for the semis. That's 15 apiece. But the The first semi has two auto qualifiers, performing and voting, whereas the second has three. And if Portugal drops, they would be dropping out of semi one. We know that now.
Yep. So just to cap, the first half of semi one is going to be Croatia, Finland, Georgia, Greece, Moldova, Portugal, and Sweden. Second half of semi one will be Belgium, Estonia, Israel, Lithuania, Montenegro, Poland, San Marino, and Serbia. So interesting that Moldova will not be with Romania, but Serbia and Montenegro will be with each other. Yeah. Semi two, Armenia and Azerbaijan. Oh, those loving neighbors. Bulgaria, Czechia, Luxembourg, Romania, Switzerland. The second half with Albania, Australia, Cyprus, Denmark, Latvia, Malta, Norway, and Ukraine. Germany and Italy voting in semi one. France, UK, and Austria in semi two.
So Greece and Cyprus are apart again.
Yeah, Greece and Cyprus are apart. UK and Australia will be in the same.
Yep.
Yes, let's see.
Croatia is in with Serbia and Montenegro as well.
Yeah. Finland and Sweden will have each other, while the Denmark and Norway will have each other. So there'll be some Nordic connections there.
I was like, wait, where did Ireland go? And then I made myself sad.
Yeah, same. I just, yeah. I asked myself the same thing about Spain and Portugal. I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
They also reminded us during the allocation draw today that that Austria is doing not doing internal selection as they did with JJ, but is doing a national final, mm-hmm. putting it to a vote. And I kind of love that for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of years since they've done a national final.
Yeah.
But they've given us some really fun ones in the past. Like my brain is going immediately to Johann Sebastian Bass with Absolutio. That's probably about 10 years ago at this point, but still slaps. Still slaps.
That's great.
Yeah, Austria also gave us that one time that Sting's son Joe tried to represent them. That would have been 2011 with the song Paris, Paris.
Huh.
Yeah, they give us some fun stuff.
Neat. On the topic of national finals, I just sort of counting it up. I remember a couple of years ago we talked about like success rate at national final versus internal selection, and it was fairly comparable, but kind of leaned in favor of doing a national selection for getting a good result at Eurovision, and I think that makes sense. Especially if you have like an international jury that can sway the results in such a way that's like, no, you should definitely pick the song about the dog that went to space and died. You know, that sort of thing. 35 countries this year, 25 have confirmed they are doing a national final. That's
a ton.
It is a ton. That is including Israel, and they kind of do a hybrid thing. They do a final for the artist, and then they do the song for them, like internally. But counting that, 25 countries, only of the 10 remaining, four of them have confirmed they're selecting internally. Azerbaijan, Cyprus, who picked Antigone, the play, Czechia, and Switzerland. The ones we don't know about: Armenia, Australia, Belgium, France, Georgia, the UK. I assume
most of those will be internal selection.
Yeah.
Probably.
UK France, almost certainly.
Same UK, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Georgia, France can go either way. Belgium can go either way. Australia can go either way. Armenia is generally internal as well,
mm-hmm.
but not always.
I haven't heard any whispers about any sort of call for national finalists. So mm-hmm. Who knows?
We don't.
Yeah.
We sure don't.
Which guarantee it means the moment that we, mm-hmm. sign off, and we'll immediately be flooded with news about, the United Kingdom is suddenly having a 10-part national final. And
where did they find them all?
Mm-hmm.
Independent Irish artists who, are said that they don't have a chance.
Yikes. Competing under the British flag? You know what?
Northern Irish artists, I believe, do have the right to be able to represent either.
Oh, sure.
So
as well they should.
Anyway, before I get into politics.
Rebellious as they want. No, get into politics. It's fun.
No, it's not. For once in my life, I would like politics to stay far, far away from the things that I know it's impossible.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of living in interesting times. I want my boring times back.
I like my precedented times.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank goodness Eurovision is not tarnished by, all of that stuff. It's a non-political event.
Oh, sure it is.
Anyway.
Ooh, you know what actually is a non-political event?
Do tell.
Junior Eurovision.
Aww. The littlest Eurovision of them all.
Yeah.
No, Junior Eurovision.
We might actually be getting our wish on the host country here.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
So France said no, which are no rather.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I feel like at some point, like if you're going to keep doing this, if you're going to keep winning, you need to be hosting. Like you can't win and then you can't win and then just pass this thing off to hot potato it to some other poor country. You, this is your fault. You need to take responsibility
for what you've done.
Yes, you should be reaping and sowing, France. Come on. But San Marino.
Hey. Oh my God, San Marino.
They want it. And you know what?
I think they should have it.
I think they should have it.
This most recent junior, they held a very nice looking contest and a very well run contest from a television point of view in a small venue.
It doesn't have to be big.
Exactly. It could look spectacular without being in a giant arena. So if they put it in the biggest hall in San Marino, it might still be smaller than what they had this year, but still it can be done. And I'm sure they're champing at the bit to put themselves on the map like this. Like, I really want to see what that bid is like.
I don't actually even know what their largest venue is.
I think it's the theater that they've had their national finals in the last couple of years.
It's an Arby's. But don't get me wrong. It's a big Arby. Like it's pretty big. I might have, if it's in San Marino, I might have to go.
Yeah, we know enough Italian.
Yeah, we can get by.
Yeah, I think it might be the Teatro Novo in Dogana near Serravalle, according to. Yeah, it's got a capacity of 872. It's the largest theater in the Republic.
872,
according to Wikipedia.
You love to see it.
You do.
Probably enough for junior.
I mean, depending on how big the stage is, it's gonna be less than that. That's like a high school auditorium here. Oh man, they should hold junior in Lino Lakes, Minnesota, at Rice Lake Elementary School, just down the road from our house.
Are you volunteering your basement as the press center? Or
sure, pretty big.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can hold vid beer in a subway tunnel, like I feel like.
Oh, that's right.
I feel like it would be fine.
That was super cool.
That was. I mean, I hate the circumstances that made them do what they had to do, but the yeah, way that the way that. That the network was able to pivot like that was incredible. Good times. We didn't really have an in-depth topic for this week. We just kind of wanted to ease our way back into the year with a little bit of news, some catch-up, checking in with each other, checking in with you at home, seeing how everybody's doing.
We mostly don't know what day it is, and we're all full of cheese. So, mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I'm like that every day.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, we went to a Brazilian steakhouse yesterday.
Ooh.
And yeah, this was a new one to us. And this one, for better or worse, the little cheese puff things, they're at the salad bar. So you can just grab as many as you want.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I know. Yeah. It is dangerous. There, I've determined there are four stages to eating at a Brazilian steakhouse. This is bonus content for everyone who's still listening to the show somehow. One is, this place is so cool. Look at all the meat. Two is, why would I go to this salad bar? Three is, yes, give me that and that and that, and it all tastes so good. Step four is, I want to die because of all of the things you did in the first three steps.
If you do a Brazilian steakhouse right, you don't get to step four.
I don't know. I feel like it's an essential part of the process almost. And then there's sort of step five where you kind of forget about step four and you just want to go back. That's the part I'm at right now.
You want to go back already?
Yeah, I do. Give me more of those things.
The cheese puffs.
Cheese puff things.
Kanya.
Yeah.
Kanya, sausage, just all of it. Super good.
Kanya.
Let me know your favorite part of the Brazilian steakhouse process at home. And I'm tired.
Yeah, it's been a couple of days, y'all. Yeah. Why don't we call it a day? We will regroup after this next round of national finals. Until then, we'll take care of ourselves and each other. Keep our heads above water. Keep moving forward. Waiting for things to defrost.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Just keep swimming through.
Wait for that ice to melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Derek, how was your trip?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Awesome.
If you haven't been to Germany, strongly recommend.
Did you go to Europa Park?
I did not.
That's the one thing I've done in Germany. But I loved it.
Well, it was January.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Fine.
I think it is open year round, though.
Really?
I think so.
Huh. We drove by an amusement park at some point. I can't remember where it was, though. But it was covered in snow and nobody was there. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you went to Germany and Czechia and what were the others?
Austria, France, and the Netherlands.
Man. Did you get any Choco Mel?
I thought about it.
Oh, that's good enough. We count those.
I'm like, I can't. So you really... Wait, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying you were there to enjoy the Christmas markets and soak in some holiday cheer.
Yeah, I went with Natalie's family, and her father was stationed in Germany in the army for a few years, and her brother studied abroad there, so they had a bunch of connections, and they wanted to revisit some old places. And Natalie and I ducked off. That's when we went to Amsterdam for a couple of days, just because they were hanging out.
Nice.
But yeah, we rented two cars and drove around. Got to drive on the Autobahn, which is annoying, but also really fun.
How so? Yeah, how is it annoying?
It's annoying. Are there like clowns everywhere?
No, so drivers there are just better. I'm just going to say that first. If there's somebody in the left lane and they're going too slow, they get out of your way, which is wonderful. But there's this thing when you're driving, there's a symbol for no speed, and then it kind of shifts around like 120, 100, 80, 70, whatever. And you'll be driving on the Autobahn and you'll be like, okay, Autobahn, let's just crank it. I'm going like, you know, 100 miles an hour. And then it'll switch to 120. It'll switch to 100. And then it'll go back up to 120. And then it's Autobahn again. And there's absolutely no reason for it to do that. It just does it every now and again.
Just to see who's so paying attention.
That might be it. Yeah. There were, I think there's only one stretch of road we were on that was Autobahn pretty much for like 2 hours straight. And you better believe we got some speed in.
Nice. Oh,
what,
yeah.
What kind of car did you get?
We had a, what was it called? A Cupra?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, they don't sell them here. I was kind of surprised. It is a e-hybrid electric car.
Ooh.
Owned by the Volkswagen company, introduced by a Spanish car manufacturer.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, at first I kind of liked it, but then I realized it had like this touchscreen, which I always thought would be cool to have in a car, but oh my God, those things are so annoying.
Hmm.
So yeah, but I mean, we were constantly moving. I think we were in a city one night most of the time, maybe two nights at a couple other places. You know, we would just get up and load up the car and find interesting things to do and then find the next Airbnb and crash and then wake up and do it again. So there were some parts I'm like, I wish I could have spent another day here. And other parts I'm like, let's go. We're done.
I've seen everything I can in this small, quaint village. On to the next.
Yeah. If you want to know about highlights, if you're ever in Germany looking for something a little off the beaten path, there's a city called Kassel, and they have Grimm Brothers. What?
Oh, nothing. Never. Sorry.
Sorry, dude. They have a Grimm Brothers Museum, which goes through the history of the brothers and how they started collecting stories and all the people they corresponded with and all the books they contributed to. And there's a history of the fables, their fairy tales, and a history on them and all this controversy and all these other things. And really, really fascinating.
And it's called Kassel?
The city is called Kassel with a K.
I feel like I've heard of it, but I knew nothing about
it. Kassel there?
Yes, there is.
Awesome.
It's not a huge city, and it's we were just driving through it, and we were like, let's see if there's something to do here. And then we found the museum.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love
the best finds on trips, the things you didn't expect to land in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, fun fact, Germans eat more doner than Turkish people do.
That is entirely unsurprising. Doner is delicious.
Yeah, if I had access to doner as often as they do over in that part of the world, I would be having it all the time. And now I want a doner.
Dang it.
It's the first thing I thought when I came back, and I'm like, I can't get one here.
That's so weird. You'd think they'd catch on just fine.
I mean, I say the same thing about Georgian cuisine as well. Like, there's no reason why like cheese bread and delicious meaty dumplings aren't on every damn street corner here. But we can't have nice things.
Shop. Also, Derek, you can get doner in the cities. There's a place called the Naughty Doner in St. Paul. So check it out.
No kidding.
Shout out. The Naughty Doner.
I was looking at the map and I couldn't find one. The closest thing I found was a gyro place, but I know I can get
those. That's the only one that I know of.
Naughty Doner. All right, probably check that out this weekend.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nice.
All right. Well,
I was smelling.
On that note,
we're doing the Minnesota goodbye here. We're wrapping up, which means we only have like 2 hours to go.
We're slowly putting our jackets on and making our way towards the door before we realize that, oh yeah, did you hear about
vaccines? Have you heard about these things? They're killing the children.
Well, if we need to, I can slap my thighs and say, well,
that's
the proper British goodbye.
And on that note, everybody, I'm slowly putting on my coat. Again, you at home know how to reach us, most likely. And if you don't, let me tell you, it's 12pointsUSA on basically any social media, 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com if you want to email us directly. If you are a Patreon follower, you can just message us also through Patreon and we get those messages as well. We will catch up with you on our next episode. Until then, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, put some good out into the world. That's my Please. My hope for you, okay? Until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Liz.
And America.
Stop
listening now.